to Discover Health, where we help you take control of your health so you can transform your life. Your host, functional medicine expert, Dr. Trish Murray, is on a mission to help every baby boomer age with dignity and grace.
This episode of Discover Health Podcast is sponsored by Functional Diagnostic Nutrition.
So hello, everyone. I'm Dr. Trish Murray, physician, author, and the Health Catalyst speaker, and welcome to this episode of Discover Health Podcast. Today, our podcast is entitled Stress and Hormones, and I have on for a second time, I'm really excited to have him back, is Reed Davis. Hi, Reed. How are you doing today?
Doing fantastic, Dr. Trish. So glad to be back with you today.
Oh, it's awesome to have you back on. Our first episode was great, so we had to have you back again. So let me remind people a bit about your bio. I'm going to read this out, and then we'll kind of get into the topic here about stress and hormones. So folks, Reed Davis, founder of Functional Diagnostic Nutrition, is an expert in functional lab testing, data-guided health-building protocols, and holistic lifestyle approaches. Reed is widely known as one of the most successful and experienced functional lab educators in the world today, having provided functional assessments to over 10,000 clients as a clinical nutrition therapist and teaching over 3,000 health coaches and allied health professionals about hormone, immune, digestion, detoxification, and nervous system issues. Reed is on a mission to help as many health-minded people as possible in growing their knowledge and with getting access to the right resources so they can help people on a deeper level and finally solve their own issues once and for all. Isn't that what we're all into functional medicine about? So welcome back, Reed.
Thanks so much. Thanks for the great introduction, and I'm glad we're on the same page.
Absolutely. So Reed, last time, I always start with asking folks kind of what led them into the way they're being of service today. And you've been a certified nutritional therapist for quite a while, but this time, why don't I ask about the business you created? Is this time, please let folks know how you came to be the founder of Functional Diagnostic Nutrition.
Yeah, thanks so much again. As you alluded to, last time we talked about the 10 years I spent in the clinic running thousands of labs on thousands of people. I just wanted to help people. And I wanted to be the last person they needed to see, because most of the patients walking in the door had already seen 5 or 8 or 10 different people and still had a lot of their complaints. So I became an investigator of sorts. And then I taught people what to do with what we found. And I just started getting pushed, Dr. Trish, into you should be teaching. The labs that I was using on all these people were coming to me and saying, who the heck are you? No one runs this many labs. Like you're running as many labs as offices that have 5 doctors. And, I was the only guy in our office really running labs. So I only did it, Dr. Trish, because I didn't know you couldn't do it. I didn't know I was working harder than everyone else. I just thought everybody worked that hard and loved doing what they were doing as much as I did. So I took on the challenge and I said, well, let me see if I could teach my system, because I did want to start deputizing people to do what I was doing. I knew I was doing some good. I had very happy, successful business. And so I thought, well, if I can duplicate that or get other people to duplicate, we could reach a lot more people. So my mission is the same. It's still to help as many people as possible, but I can't see them all myself, so I have to deputize others. And so in 2008, I started teaching. I started off with just a 2-day weekend. I stood in front of about 200 slides going over what I had been doing in the office and discovered all the sort of, secrets and things we uncovered in all those years. And people loved it. And it was international from day one. People flew to San Diego. I did this at a hotel. And I had people from England and from Canada and all over show up. And that was the beginning of the course. Now, it was successful. It was it paid well. And a lot of people said, we want more. We want more. Like, what else can we do? And so the next time I taught it, I went online. I didn't have another live event. And I went online and I had, I signed up maybe twice as many people. And I spread the lessons out over 10 weeks. And then I did that again. And then I did that again. And then I got smart. One of my students said, hey, Reed, if you record it, then you wouldn't have to do it. Keep doing it over and over again. I could listen to the recordings. And me, I wasn't a tech savvy guy. I started and ran that whole huge business with just a pager. You remember the days when we had a pager on our hip and it would just buzz and buzz and we'd, you know, finally call the person back, whatever. So I was low tech and I had to learn a lot. Well, now it's not 2008 anymore. Obviously we've reiterated the course time and time and time again. So now it's this huge sort of robust educational platform that's delivered very professionally. And so I came to it out of the same desire to help as many people as possible, decided that deputizing others to duplicate our system would be the best way. And it's worked out pretty well. And the course is available to anyone who wants to help others and is willing to walk the talk. You gotta want to live this way. Use the lifestyle medicine formulas that we've developed, because that's the best way to help others is to give them an example to follow.
Absolutely. So Reed, who are the type of folks that are the most common folks that come and or you know go through your whole program?
You know, I use the term allied practitioners because it's. People who have usually a college degree, and then they've got some kind of certification in the modality. It could be nutrition. Like I was a nutritionist. I was also a personal trainer certified, and I have a number of other certifications. So it's usually someone like that, college degree. My college was actually was environmental law, so I wasn't even in this field, but I switched to you know working with people as we went over last time, and. So they have a college degree, they have some certifications. It could even be massage or yoga instruction, or it's just people who want to do some good in the world, who want to help others, and they enjoy that. And what will happen to them is that what happened to me is you just fall in love with the clinical side. You know, running the labs on people, looking at their hormones and the immune system, digestion and detoxification markers, like actually on paper, is very exciting. You know, you have to learn the anatomy, physiology, biochemistry. So you have to have kind of an itch or nerdiness. A little nerdiness helps to answer your question. And not too much, we hope.
Right.
You know, you got to be a friendly, nice, warm, and considerate and kind and helpful person and a little nerdiness. And we'll teach you what you need to know. We teach everything that you need to know about the labs. And then it's practical. Because remember, it's all developed out of my experience doing one-on-one work with people. So you'll learn how to apply those or do the investigation, let's say. And then apply the principles of wellness, the principles of healing. We don't do drugs. Matter of fact, we're fully accredited by the American Association of Drugless Practitioners. And all of my graduates are board eligible for their holistic health practitioner certification, their HHP. And you really just have to join the AADP and you automatically get it. So it's like two certs for one. You get my certification, which means you're eligible as a if you're non-licensed, as we've mentioned, most of the allied practitioners, then you still get to run the labs through our medical director program with your clients. It's basically a direct-to-consumer, but you're looking at the data on your clients, and you're able to identify these healing opportunities. And then again, you coach them. We're health coaches. We're kind of the ultimate health coaches. We you know, it's not necessarily what a person does in the office, although in your case, they do get the manipulations and things like that. It's what they do between visits that matters most. So we're doing that. We fill that gap. We bridge that gap, if you will. Well, what happens between those office visits? And I can teach anyone. So I don't hold back if just about anyone can join. You do have to have some tech savvy now because you got to use a computer and you know, the programs and things.
Well, that's awesome. And, you know, another question for you is the idea, I totally agree, is between the visits. I teach every one of my patients how to do particular stretching exercises, for example, to start out with like level one, and then there's a level two. So if they're not doing their homework in between visits, I tell them, you know, you can come see me. It's just going to be a Band-Aid. You've got to walk the walk and talk the talk yourself, which is, you know, in any aspect of functional or holistic medicine, people realize that they have to be proactive about their health. So
how yeah, I'm people, so glad you said that.
Yeah, I just wanted to ask, you know, about labs, because as a physician, of course, I'm ordering labs all the time, and then I have to put diagnostic codes down, and then they go to the national labs to get their blood drawn and all that stuff. How do folks, through your programs, if someone's working with yourself or someone else who's, as you said, an allied practitioner and sometimes not certified, if you will, through the insurance model, correct me if I'm wrong, to order the labs, how do people get them done?
Well, we're taking advantage of a kind of a new phenomenon. Matter of fact, we actually initiated or kind of pioneered this system of the consumer going direct to the lab. And so our practitioners aren't ordering a lab like you do as a physician with a diagnosis and CPT codes and such, so their insurance could pay for it. This is pretty much a cash practice model. And so my practitioners, they'll expedite the lab kit being sent to their client, but the client themselves is actually paying for the lab and, you know, collecting their own specimens. And that's why we like test kits. Saliva can be done at home, urine can be done at home, stool can be collected at home. We do have to send people in for blood draws, but even that, with that, they're not having to go to some of these big referencing labs, like you mentioned, National or LabCorp, Quest. There's a lot of like private blood draw companies now. They drive around in cars and do mobile blood draw and things like that. So there's lots of ways to skin the cat, but it is our medical director program allows the patient to get the lab direct, but also allows the health practitioner, the health coach, if you will, look at the lab test results. That's between the client and the health coach by their agreement. So we just manage the whole thing, and our trainees and graduates just absolutely love it. They love, we call it cooking with gas, because if you're not testing, you're guessing. That's why you run labs, and that's why health coaches want to look at labs too. They may not look at them exactly the same way. Again, we're not looking for treatment options. You know, what's the agent to use for the symptoms, and what's the dosage, and what's the frequency? You know, we don't look at things like that. We are truly trying to identify some healing opportunities. It's sort of what's broken upstream, or what metabolic weak link or vital void exists somewhere upstream. And usually there's multiple. It's never really just one. And so you look at this cluster of data and then can form your impression and clinically correlate. Is this explain why the client or patient feels so bad or looks so bad or whatever it might be? You have to do the clinical correlation. Then you give them things to do. We don't prescribe any particular agents. Again, we're not worried too much about doses and frequency, what will make their symptoms go away. It's like, how do you really fix what's wrong so it goes away permanently or as close to possible? And I have to add that it doesn't fix every single problem. In many cases, there's something truly medical that needs oversight. And in that case, we'd be the junior partner to the physician who's managing something that could turn south real quick. You know, doctors are able to order CT scans and x-rays and MRIs and all kinds of things that we aren't trained in. And you know, thank God there is a physician to provide that oversight. But when it comes to diet and rest and exercise and reducing stress and taking some supplements, we're really knowledgeable. And we know how to apply those therapies, if you will, or lifestyle, holistic behavior patterns. And you'd be amazed at what the two together can accomplish. to the
person. Absolutely. I mean, I have a health coach in my office, and I wouldn't be able to live without her anymore, in the essence of you know, I take, if you will, the 30,000 foot view, and she's walking the walk and talking the talk with them every day. So it's just such an excellent, you know, partnership. So let's get into the stress and sex hormones. First of all, you mentioned some kits. Let's ask the first question would be, what presentation, let's say, would a patient come in with or a client come in with that makes you lead to say, okay, I think I want to, you know, I believe that checking out this person's stress hormones and their sex hormones would be indicated. And then what kits, for example, you mentioned these kits they can get from direct thing and how they're tested. How do we test the stress hormones and the sex hormones?
Well, you know, the presentation, people come in and they're stressed out. They're weight gain. They can't maintain their weight. They've got low energy, fatigue, could be brain fog, poor memory. Can't fall asleep, poor sleep, these kinds of things. And there's worse. They get dizzy on standing. It's generally an indication of adrenal dysfunction of some sort. You know, their blood pressure isn't being regulated properly. Eyes sensitive to light. That's a huge one. Anxiety, irritable. But generally speaking, too, doctor, a lot of these folks have been to a physician, had their CBC Chem panel or you know, standard blood work looked at, and have often been told there's nothing wrong with you. You know, you're in the parameters, you're in the normal reference ranges. There's not much to look at here on the standard blood panel. And so, I mean, raise your hand if that ever happened to you, you know, or you know someone who has been told that. But, you know, we say, well, you're not crazy. And you don't just need some pills just for your symptoms. We can look a little deeper. So we would run either a saliva or dried urine test for all the hormones. And we do on every person, because just about every person with a chronic stress-related condition has hormonal imbalances of some sort. Could be the cortisol to DHEA, could be the progesterone to estrogen or testosterone to estrogen ratio, and these kind of things. So rather than just look again for treatment options like, oh, your estrogen's low, here's some estrogen or whatever it might be, we look at what are the stressors that caused it. And so that's more work. And it's the work that you do at home in between your doctor visits, as we both agreed or is the critical time period. And so if someone shows up with those symptoms, including, you know, you're just crashing early in the day. You might get a second wind, you might not, but you need a lot of coffee in the mornings and you need alcohol to get to sleep and you're just not what you used to be. And you know something's wrong, but you've been told, you know, things look pretty normal in your blood work. Well, that's a perfect candidate for a health coach if I train them. And so the other part of your question, what do you look at? You know, I've preferred saliva testing for many years. The dried urine is also very good. And we would look at, we'd have you take saliva samples morning, noon, afternoon, and nighttime. And we'd look at the circadian rhythm. You know, there's a natural diurnal pattern that cortisol should follow. Cortisol is your stress hormone. Most people know that. But it's made in the adrenal glands. But the adrenal glands also make the counter-regulatory hormone, which is DHEA. And the long form of that is dehydroepiandrosterone. So you know why we call it DHEA. And the cortisol to DHEA ratio is very, very important. As you know, you're kind of identifying the catabolic dominance that people have there. You have cortisol, which is your stress hormone. It breaks the body down mostly to maintain blood sugar levels. It's also an anti-inflammatory painkiller. It's a really good hormone under stress. But if it's constant, you'll end up with this cortisol or catabolic dominance over the DHEA. Remember, they're supposed to be in balance. They're both made in the adrenals. They're supposed to be in balance. It's a major indicator for a health coach that you're in a catabolic state versus the anabolic state. DHEA would be the anabolic side of the equation that builds you up. So we all are going to break down a bit and build up a bit. If you keep that in balance, you can go for decades and decades as a healthy person. if you're in a catabolic state dominant, then you're going to break down and age and be old before your time. And that's how people show up feeling.
Absolutely. And the idea would be, you know, with the symptoms you said, and even before we came on the air, we were even talking about bone density. And the idea that if your cortisol is up all the time and your DHEA is down, the idea of this catabolic state, you're degenerating and beating up your system. And the idea of as cortisol is up, you're not going to sleep because, of course, another hormone is supposed to be up when we want to sleep, which is melatonin, and cortisol is supposed to be low. But if it's up at 3 a.m, bing, you're wide awake. And also, if your cortisol is up, it's going to cause problems for your, you're going to increase your bone catabolism, meaning breaking down a bone. So a lot of, particularly, yep. More commonly with women, but men too can have osteopenia or osteoporosis. But the bottom line is a lot of women come in and they're talking about their osteopenia or their osteoporosis, and they don't realize that their stress hormones are very much related to that. How about your comments on that piece of it?
Well, that's a beautiful, you know, segue into something that's very real for people. And you know, people think of stress as basically mental, emotional. It has a real deleterious physical effect on your body because, again, in the adrenals where cortisol and DHEA are made, we said cortisol is catabolic. It breaks your body down, and it inhibits the development of new bone. There's nothing wrong with breaking down bone as long as it's replaced with new healthy bone. Again, it's the imbalances that we're worried about. The other hormones, of course, are the sort of children of that DHEA. You know, DHEA is the parent of your testosterone, which is great for bones, and of estrogen, which basically is what helps to erode the bone. Again, then it's okay because if it's in balance, you're in pretty good shape. And cortisol suppresses the formation of new bone, which is generally stimulated by progesterone. So you need your sex hormones, the estrogen and progesterone, to balance. Let me back up and say that generally for women, it's your estrogen and progesterone balance, but they're affected by stress too. Estrogen helps to catabolize, like you said, break down the bone, whereas progesterone helps build up the bone. And that progesterone effect of building up the bone is suppressed by the stress hormone cortisol. And so there's other hormones involved. There's lots of factors. You can mitigate this to some extent with the right nutrients and great diet and good rest and good exercise, especially, you know, vigorous exercise, something that rattles the bones a bit. That's actually good for them. But so you look at cortisol and DHEA as being maybe master regulatory, but DHEA has metabolites that really affect the bones. It's all gotta be in balance.
Discover Movement will enhance your mobility, build strength, improve balance, and enable you to move with confidence and ease. To register, please visit our Discover Health online shop at members.discoverhealthfmc.com. How about diet in particular? What diets would you say you find yourself promoting to people the most when their stress hormones are off, or for example, if they have bone problems?
You know, it's been said so many times, I guess, that eating whole foods, eating, you know, things that are not coming in a bag or box. So we call it just eat real food. That's a phrase coined by a friend of mine, Sean Croxton. I've been on his show many, many times, lots of old recordings of me talking about real food, the things around the perimeter of the store. So I'm an omnivore. I eat plenty of meat and eggs, and I don't do a lot of dairy, but I do eat meat and eggs, and I eat a lot of vegetables, especially your green vegetables. They tend to be really high in minerals. So if you think about it, for diet, you want to get your macro nutrients right, the amount of protein, fat, and carbohydrates. And the carbohydrates need to be really high quality, nutrient dense. You know, if you're in, and by the time food gets processed, but if it's in a bag or box, it's probably been so processed, the nutrients have been sort of ripped off, and they might put new ones in, and you know, the fortified foods, but it's not the same thing as getting, I just keep picturing my grandfathers who both grew food. And we had, ate out of the backyard, and that food was really nutritious. It had all the vitamins and minerals and essential fatty acids. It had the antioxidants, the phytonutrients, and the trace elements. So you need really good whole food, and probably lots of it if you're doing everything else right too. So,
Yeah, the foundational diet, of course, I talk with folks about, I call the rainbow diet. And I think the rainbow should be the foundation of no matter what diet. So even if you're ketogenic, it should be based in plants first and color and phytonutrients and the rainbow of red, yellow, green, orange, blue, purple. And I don't mean Skittles. Yeah. But the other thing is...
Or M&M's.
Yeah, right. And I agree. Omnivore, you know, for many people... A lot of people will come in, particularly just bringing up the idea of bone health. Many women will come in and they're eating mostly plants and also grains of the plant world. And they're not, let's say, maybe getting enough protein. And so the cortisol is up, their protein levels are down, and protein is that's the building block of our structure. So it's just something for people to make sure they are getting enough protein in their diet. You want healthy protein, you want grass-fed meat, and you want wild caught fish and other proteins. But the bottom line is you do want to try and make sure you're getting enough. And if you are a vegetarian or a vegan, you just want to make sure you're getting the right combination of plants to get all the essential amino acids. What would you comment about all that topic, Reed?
You know, I've studied diet a lot. I actually follow the work of a couple real smart people, like Bill Wolcott. He wrote a book called The Metabolic Typing Diet. There's a website called mtdiet.com where you can go and take this little test online, and it'll help you determine the macronutrient ratios. So the first thing I have to say about your comments is you're right on. You're made of food. You're made of food. You know, the reason you started off at 8 pounds or wherever you're born at, and now you're, you know, 108 or like me, 208. And, you know, that's all because of feeding food and it being processed and assimilated. And you mentioned the proteins and the building blocks, but you need fat for energy. You need the carbohydrates for energy. And plus those foods contain those amino acids and antioxidants and trace elements and all the different things you're genetically required to have. So the better your nutrition is, the better your cells can function. And cells don't need to be taught what their job is. That it's innate. There's an intelligence in every cell, every tissue, every organ, every system, the entire organism. It's pretty darn smart how it works if you feed it right. You know, it's like, I mean, we feed our pets better than we feed our kids sometimes. We buy the most expensive pet food, it's got this, that, and all the other things, you know, and there's all these different kinds. And we let our kids eat sugary colored cereal, you know, and just is kind of amazing.
And M&M's.
But I love diet and Skittles. Listen, I haven't eaten in a fast food restaurant in well over 20 years, you know, just you learn. And you learn that whole food tastes better. It's a little more work, but it's much more nutritious. You feel better on it. You don't have the health problems that people who eat just fast food have. You know, it's a whole epidemic. So I'm with you 100% on your comments about diet.
Yeah, and you know, the more I've learned and the more I cook, and I love to cook. Some people say they hate to cook. I think if you really want to be healthy, you got to learn how to cook some. And the idea is, though, I hardly ever go out to eat anymore. People say it's more expensive to eat healthy. I disagree in the essence of, yeah, maybe it's a little more expensive getting out of the grocery store, but I don't go out to eat because, to tell you the truth, the food is so good that I make when I go out to eat, I'm disappointed because it just doesn't taste good. It's just not as good as what we can make at home.
Absolutely. If you go out to dinner, you know, often enough, you'll spend thousands and thousands of dollars in restaurants where if you spent that money and or less, just, you know, getting whole food and preparing it yourself, you actually, there's things that are kind of very relaxing about being in your own kitchen and cooking nutritious food. There's something very wholesome about it. And you don't get that wholesomeness from going to a restaurant and you know, what do you have? You know, what do you get your drink order and your appetizer order, and you've spent all this money, and you know you're getting a lot of sugar and salt and trans fats. Trans fats are huge, and even in the best restaurants, they're using you know, hydrogenated oils and what have you. And so you just can't compare the two, I don't think. And by the way, I don't know if you've tried, Dr. Trish, any of the services around that will send you food that you can cook. It's already kind of, I love that stuff. It's wholesome. It's good. You pay a little more for the organic version, but I get three meals a week that way. And it's fun. It, you know, anyone can get a frying pan out and put a little, you know, coconut oil or olive oil. And I use a little garlic oil, and you throw a little garlic in there, and then you throw the hard vegetables in, and you might cook the meat separately or even in the same pan. You know, even in the same pan, it's one. Yeah, and yeah, it's delicious. Your friends love it. People love it.
There's companies out there now, and people are starting to use them, especially, like I say, if you're someone who says, I don't like to cook, then that would be a great place to start, is looking up the different home services where you can order from menus, and they'll send you the organically made, already ready to just heat it up foods. That's awesome. So, Reed, let's ask you about a particular hormone that I'd love to hear you talk to folks about. When you're doing hormone testing, where does sex hormone binding globulin come in for you? In the essence that, you know, we talk about free testosterone for men, for example, or other hormones, but particularly, you know, where it's going to, you may have a total testosterone number that's nice, pretty good and boisterous, but your free testosterone, let's say, is really quite low. And your sex hormone binding globulin is quite high. When you find that, tell people about that. And then when you find that, what would you suggest they do to try and correct it?
Well, it's a great question. And just about every hormone has a binding, a corresponding binding hormone, most of them made in the liver. So it could be thyroid binding globulin. It could be cortisol binding globulin. It could be sex hormone binding globulin. And you have these things, and you don't want too much binding, and you don't want too little binding. The overbinding generally means you don't have enough of the free hormone. It's bound up and it's just not freely available. Typically, hormones that are bound up should get to the receptor sites and be unbound. But there's other things that could be going on with the receptor sites, and you just don't want overbinding. Now, underbinding would make the hormone too available, and you could burn out the receptor sites. You get this idea of you reduce sensitivity of the receptor sites, and so you won't have the effect that the hormone's supposed to have, and you'll end up with the symptoms of either too much or too little of that hormone. I think we mentioned that a little bit in the last talk about thyroid. It's such a great example, but you want lots of free hormone available to the receptor site so that you can have the effect that that hormone is supposed to have. That's if everything else is equal, like, you know, the use of the hormone by the cells, the transcription, transduction, the things that happen within a cell. But, you know, overbinding, underbinding, most of those globulins are made in the liver. So guess what? You better be nice to your liver. And hope, and also remember that some of these hormones are being converted in the liver from an inactive form to an active form. You know, they're not all, you know, so I kind of, like you do sometimes, you mentioned taking the 30,000 foot view, and I try to take the broadest view possible and not zero in too much on a particular thing. You know, health coaches have to take this broad view and just say, what would be the healthiest state? And well, having a really good functioning liver would be a good way to look at that problem. And there are probably some supplements that would help you pretty well. I was going to mention this when you mentioned diet and what diet would be right for bone density. Well, that's kind of an allopathic approach. There is such a thing as allopathic nutrition, like just eating certain nutrients just because it's supposedly good for your bones or your hormones or your brain or, you know, some your digestion or whatever. But you might throw something else out of balance by eating too much of it. So that's why we want to take the broad view and what's the way you can behave yourself best and get the best overall results. Remember, I'm not a physician. I'm not doing drugs and surgery and treating specific things. I'm really trying to help a person self-treat every cell, tissue, organ, and system in their body. So it's a good question about the hormone binding globulins. And since they're made in the liver, I'd keep my liver in good shape and every other organ too.
Right. So if someone is interested in becoming, let's say, a health coach and learning how to do that, and then taking your program through functional diagnostic nutrition, whether they're looking to be of service to a lot of people, or even if they just want to learn for themselves to optimize their own health, what does that look like?
Well, we just published a blog actually on the top 10 health coaching programs, and we're among those. I think we're number one personally, but it depends on the person. So I said most health coaches, if they're professionals, and I separate them from the hobbyists, that they actually want to do this for a living, will want a course like ours. It's actually going to teach you a practical application of the principles involved. Number one, of looking at what's really wrong with a person, if you will, you know, the healing opportunities, how that person themselves can overcome, you know, repair, restore, rebuild those functions that are less than optimal, and then a good business model. So we teach all three of those things in our course, and that's what I would look for. When you went to osteopathic school, did they teach you all about business, or did you have to come out and learn that later? You know, typically you had to learn that later. Same thing with chiropractic school or acupuncture school. Well, at health coaching school, you should get a good business model. And remember, I was a very successful practitioner. We didn't really use the term health coach back then, but because that's a newer development. But I don't care what you call it. I know how to get business, get people to make commitments to their health. We have this onboarding process we teach. And so I think you want all three of those things in your program.
So, and then what does working with a health coach you've trained look like?
Well, if you have a problem, something that about the way you look or the way you feel that you want to change, and you really want to change it. You don't just want information to pick someone's brain and maybe you'll do it and maybe you won't. You know, we take people through a process of discovering, you know, how is this really affecting their life? You know, what does it prevent you from doing that you love to do? And we go through what kind of support system you might have, what would prevent you from completing a program, what are your goals, and what is it you really want to accomplish in a relatively short period of time. We're not talking about years here. And so if that's reasonable, then we would onboard you and say, okay, well, number one, we think we can help you. And number two, we'll take you on as a client. So you have to kind of pass a test to become one of our clients. And it means you're highly motivated. You know, we can narrow in what you want to work on, what you want to change about the way you look or feel, and then you'd pay us. You know, most of the fees are paid in advance, and then you pay for any lab fees, anything else that comes along with your particular program. But you could hire me, for instance, to investigate. I'd run the labs, figure out the healing opportunities, what needs fixing, so to speak, and then we'd customize the program of diet and rest and exercise and stress reduction and supplementation. That's step two. That alone would be worth the fee. But the fact that we also will coach you up for a time period, minimum of 90 days, and correct course as we go. You know, implementation is the key. If you paid me to run the labs and figure out what's wrong and then create a program to that's going to repair that, restore all that, someone still has to run the program, and that's you, the client. That's why we do a good onboarding session. Make sure you can't buy health by writing a check. You can buy the information and the program, but you still have to run the program on yourself. So that's where the rubber meets the road. And that's why health coaching is so valuable, because we actually can work with you. You mentioned some of the programs up there that might specialize more in the positive psychology, you know, behavior change, replacing bad habits with good habits. And that's what a health coach could do for you. On top of, if you're trained by me, figure out what's wrong and know how to fix it.
It sounds like if someone's thinking about becoming a health coach and they're looking to understand how to interpret labs and know what labs to order and also the tools to be able to work with people, your functional diagnostic nutrition program would be great. So how do people find out more about it?
Well, actually, Dr. Trish, we have a place on the internet they can go. It's fdn.today/discoverhealth, the name of your program. So FDN is like functional diagnostic nutrition. That's what we call what we do. F, like Frank, David, Nancy, fdn.today/discoverhealth.
Cool. Now, let's ask a question that would be interesting to kind of round up with in the essence of read. If you had to pick, because many times I'll ask the folks I interview, you know, what's your top number one secret to living a healthy life? Well, let's keep it focused on stress and sex hormones. So if you had to pick the top three, let's say, and I'll give you three things that if someone came to you and their primary concerns were the list you gave us in the beginning of stress and brain fog and sleep problems and dizziness and crashing in the afternoon and these different symptoms that you alluded to, that you're absolutely right. In the traditional medical model, so many patients go in and they tell their doctor this list that you gave us, and they get this complete metabolic panel, they get their CBC, you know, everything goes back normal, and they're told, well, you're fine, you know. And they're like, well, what about the list I just told you of how I feel, doc? And so right. Labs we've talked about today are not done in the traditional medical model. So what would you say are the top three things that lifestyle-wise that you would suggest somebody do to optimize these symptoms and try and help them get better?
You know, it's really a fantastic question. And we didn't touch on this much today, maybe on the last call, but I start every day with a moment of appreciation, gratitude, and self-awareness, and that today, no matter what happened yesterday, today doesn't have to be that day. You know, I mean, and typically, Dr. Trish, I don't walk around with a big rearview mirror. You know, I have a little teeny tiny one maybe, and I try not to look in it. I'm always looking forward. I just think that, man, what, you know, today, you gotta get up with and try to be joyful. You have to seek some kind of joy. Now, if you have all those symptoms, it might be pretty hard. But it can be a better day. You have to decide that you're going to have a good day and that you're going to be nice to people. And, you know, don't be grumpy. And if you're tired, we'll take a nap, you know, and try not to reach for drugs. Try not to self-medicate would be my next thing. So if you find yourself grabbing stuff like a lot of coffee in the morning, it's fine if you want to have a cup of coffee. There's nothing wrong with a cup of coffee in the morning if you're pretty healthy. But if it's like you can't do anything about two cups, three cups, and you find yourself on your fourth cup by 10 in the morning, that's a sign. So number one is you got to have an attitude of joy. Number two is you find yourself self-medicating with that, and like with alcohol. So I know people that drink six cups of coffee in the day and have two, three, four beers or glasses of wine at night. And that's a problem. So if you got to find out why, and you got to hire someone who can help you get out of those habits. They're not debilitating today, but the cumulative effect is what we're concerned with. And the other thing, I mean, I could, you know, pick something else. If something's stressing you and you know it, get rid of it, get it out of your life. You know, you're not stuck. There's no law that says you have to put up with much of anything. I know there's financial concerns. I know there's social, economic, family. There's a lot of pressure, but everyone's a unique individual and you need to stand in your own power and just be yourself. I got asked this the other day. Someone was having trouble. And I said, you know what I told my kid when he was having trouble? Just be yourself. You're a good kid. You know what's right. You know right from wrong. You know, just sometimes you have to stand in your own power. So this is coming completely off the top of my head, Doc, but the get up in the morning with a state of gratitude and today's going to be a great day. Do something. Put your, you know, bare feet, you know, on the patio or on a rock or dirt outside. There's all these different things you could add to that. Say a prayer and but just be mindful. Take a few deep breaths and try to have a good attitude. And then the other things too, you know, just if you find yourself self-medicating, cut that out. Find out why. There's something wrong and you need to investigate. And the third thing is, you know, you could start with the known stressors, get them out of your life.
And if I could add one more to that, it would be movement. You know, think of some type of movement that you enjoy, whether it be stretching, whether it be a walk in the woods, like you say, get outside and be outside, or go for a run or lift some weights, whatever it is, but move your body and exercise. Because the bottom line is too many of us are sitting at desks and on these Zoom things now, of course, because of Corona, and not moving enough. So absolutely move.
Fantastic. And go to bed early and get a good night's sleep too. You, we could keep adding. You said top three, so I got five or six.
Right. Yeah, we always start to add a couple more. But start somewhere, folks, because it's not a destination. Life is a journey. And, you know, choose one
Amen.
Thing. If you do anything, choose one thing over the next 4 to 6 weeks that you're going to try and do better with. And then look back 4 or 6 weeks later and say, wow, I did that. And actually, I also improved this. So everybody can do it. We're all just on a journey. And, you know, we only have so long to try and be here in the optimal quality life we'd really like to live. So have gratitude, as Reed said, and try and come at life as happily and at least in gratitude and the idea that you're happy to be here. And the fact that no matter what life brings us, there's always going to be an answer. And maybe functional medicine and finding the right health coach is going to be the answer for you. So, Reed, thank you so much for coming on the show again. This has been great.
It's been awesome. Again, Dr. Trish, I'm always here to help people that want help. And I think you're doing amazing work and you're teaching great stuff. And so kudos to you for maintaining through these, I guess they're being called difficult times. But they're what you make them too, you know. So thanks for the positive psychology as well.
Absolutely. And if folks want to check out the Functional Diagnostic Nutrition Program, tell them that connection one more time, Reed.
It's fdn.today/discoverhealth.
Awesome. Well, thanks again, Reed. And take care, everyone. And we'll see you on the next episode of Discover Health Podcast.
Thanks for listening. To learn more about the episode and the Discover Health Functional Medicine Center, visit us on our website, discoverhealthfmc.com. We hope you enjoyed this episode and will join us again next time so you can truly live and play as long as you want.